This is We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And welcome to our Conversations with Oscar series, where we will be going through the Best Picture nominees and giving our unfiltered thoughts on each of them. Today, we're discussing The Help, starring Viola Davis, Octavia Spencer, and Emma Stone, directed by Tate Taylor. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Best Actress for Viola Davis, Best Supporting Actress for Octavia Spencer, Best Supporting Actress for Jessica Chastain, 4 nominations total. It is about an aspiring author during civil rights movement of the 1960s, decides to write a book detailing the African-American maid's point of view on the white families for which they work and the hardships they go through on a daily basis. This is The Help. Okay, friends. So what did we think of this?
For all its obvious flaws, I actually kind of liked it. And I kind of feel guilty saying that. I'm not really sure why. I remember watching it the first time and really enjoying it. Really enjoying the performances. And I love the costumes, really great. But having a more evolved film brain, and actually just a more evolved brain, to be honest with you, I can see why people thought it was, I wouldn't say problematic, but like simplistic or Oscar baity or what's the other word?
Problematic.
Stereotypical, that's what I was going to find. And white savior-y. I can see all of those. It's much more clear. But I think with the help of the score and the performances, I enjoyed it.
I don't know. I think it's well written. I think it's a good script. It's well paced. It's got it. You know, has the funny moments really well. Does the drama moments really well. But overall, I found myself kind of bored with it. Although, this cast is unfucking believable. Many people I didn't even realize were in this movie. I didn't realize that was David Oyelowo. Oh, I can never pronounce his last name.
I think you said it right. Oyelowo.
Anjanou Ellis Taylor.
Love her. Does she go by Taylor this time?
Not in this one. And this was just Anjanou Ellis, but I wrote down her.
Wait, Anjanou Ellis.
Yeah, the one that got arrested for...
Yeah.
That was her? Okay, mm-hmm. This makeup is really... Okay, makeup and hair, really good, because some of these people are almost unrecognizable.
Also, because Anjanou Ellis, she's thinner in the face, so she looks a little bit different in this movie.
She looks very young in this movie.
Also, yeah, she looks very young.
Yeah.
Chris Lowell, who I've loved since Veronica Mars. Leslie Jordan.
I was so excited.
I love Mary Steenburgen, and my girl Ashley Johnson was in there. LaShans, who from Broadway, was who played Rachel, the Cicely Tyson?
Daughter. Uh-huh.
Daughter. I felt like I was getting Tyson wrong. so, like, this cast, I mean, you know I worship at the altar of Allison Janney, so I'll watch anything and everything she's in. But I found myself just excited to watch the cast. I wasn't like, maybe it's because I've seen the story and looking back on it, you're like, oh yeah, this is not the greatest. And I was just amazed by how much our consciousness has become more aware in the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying we're doing better shit and we're not still doing this shit, but like we can look at this movie and be like, oh yeah, this is a problem. This isn't okay. And 10, 12 years ago, we weren't saying that so much. So mm-hmm. That's progress.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I genuinely was entertained by this, and comparatively to the last two that we've talked about, I was like, okay, all right, we're getting somewhere. There's reasons why this should be in the Best Picture race. I get it. But at the same time, yeah, like with my evolved, you know, more grown up brain, understanding that this is literally, literally white savior-y, because they couldn't have done what they did in the story without the white savior, without Emma Stone. And in the last couple of years, like some of the cast has come out and been like, well, you know, for the time that, you know, that was something that was good, there was representation. But again, like, you know, it wasn't giving the full story. It wasn't giving it necessarily from the perspective of Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer from the Maids characters. And again, when you look at it historically, like, yes, they were nominated for acting awards in two different categories, Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer. But like, if you go back to the first ever Black woman that won an Oscar, their characters still have the similarity of like, they're the help. So has it really evolved? Did it really evolve from like the beginning until, what was this, 2011, 2012? There was progress there, but there was definitely still way more to go. And I'm glad at least in the last couple of years, we've picked up the pace a little bit more.
Yeah, shouts to Hattie McDaniel for winning that first Oscar. I actually think it does take the story from the Black woman's perspective. She's literally listening to their stories and she's putting them in a book. And I think where I couldn't help but compare this to Green Book, our favorite movie of that year. because Green Book was very like, very like, we're all one race, the human race type of attitude. And this is more like, you have a story to tell, so let me tell it. Because they say several times that like, what we're doing is, you know, against the law, we shouldn't be talking to each other. And so I will agree that it is problematic and stereotypical and all that stuff, but I do think it's maybe a better way to approach it. but yeah, I think, like Anna said, the performances is what helps the movie so much, for sure.
I think there's two ways that would have made this a bit better. One of them being if Skeeter was already an established author and she had something to like lose by doing this, because she's at the beginning of her career. Like, she has, sure, she could lose the start of her career, but she's a white lady who can just get married and whatever and be happy, have her money. So I think if she was more established and had like a reputation, then there's stakes for her as well. Like, she's not doing this just to get ahead. She's not doing this to further her career, to jumpstart it. She's doing it because, and I'm not saying she didn't actually care, right, but yeah, there's a bit more at stake for her.
Yeah, but because her stakes are very low. It's just she's a woman and not married. That's the only real stake.
I made a note as I was finishing this movie. I was like, I feel like in order for this to be a more appropriate story for Skeeter to have been telling, it should have been more focused on her relationship with her nanny maid and the nanny and the maids, as they more focused on them raising the white children. It, when it becomes about like the gossip of the people and the trivial things about, you know, cleaning and stuff, it loses, I think, some of its, it becomes more white savior-y. But if it was more from her perspective of like, I was raised by a Black woman, I was raised by this Black woman in, as a maid in my home, and this is how it was for me, and here's the reverse of that side. Here's a Black woman who's raising white children and telling me how it is for her. I think that would have just put it on a little bit more even footing. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of like a little, here's kind of my tale of what my experience was.
Yeah, I get that. It feels a little too salacious for you, a little too gossip you know, TMZ-ish. But I think, like, of the maid's perspective, they're finally feeling seen.
Oh, 100%.
Which is great. Like, they're like, I mean, who doesn't love some gossip sometimes? Especially if it's, like, about your bosses. Hello. Good stuff. So, yeah, there's... points can be made for good and bad stuff about this whole thing. Like, every aspect of it. Truly.
Yeah, because there's some... Sorry, Anna.
You're... No, go ahead.
Because there's some, like... Even though it's not, like, heavy on the, like, cinematography or whatever, there are some shots that, like, the way the camera is, like, shooting it, like, it's clearly from Skeeter's perspective or from one of the white women's perspective versus the other way around, even though it's something happening and about the black women. So part of that, even though technically it's coming from them and it's their story, visually it's still... seen through the lens of the white women. So there's even that layer on top of it to, like, to not, like, justify, but just to, like, reiterate, okay, this is who you should be empathizing with. This is really the person that's going to get you there, which is why it is so white savory, because, like, you have to... The movie assumes that we have to, that any person watching this has to have a connection with the white women in order to, with Skeeter, in order to connect to the black women, which is untrue. Mm-hmm. But visually and, like, cinematography wise, and just, like, the way some of these shots are constructed, it's telling you that visually, even though it's saying something else, like, script wise, you know?
I think part of what, when I went into this rewatch, what kind of had my tails are already up, like, I don't know what turn of phrase I was trying to go with there, but it, I lost it midway through.
Had you on your guard.
I was going to say my tail's in a feather, but that doesn't make sense. Tails?
Not just one, but multiple.
Wow.
I don't know where that came from. I must have made it up.
Yeah, do it. Make it up.
Anyway, I think what was already bothering me was because I had watched this, I was, you know, reading Wikipedia and the trivia beforehand. And I found out that the author, Catherine Stockett, was sued by a woman named Abilene Cooper, who was her brother's maid, for stealing her likeness and her life story. She was sued for $75,000, and the judge threw it out because of statute of limitations. So Abilene to Abilene, like, it's not too far off. And Catherine Stockett was like, well, I only met her a handful of times. Mm. I was like, but I'm sure your brother could have told you anything and everything else.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I did see that article, but I forgot about it because I'd only heard about it a few years after.
And in the book, I've never read the book, but apparently she compares the character of Abilene's skin to that of a cockroach.
No.
So I had that going into it, and I was like, yikes.
Oh, no.
I think what would have made this... Because I like what you said, Joy, about it feeling like it's, even though it's the black woman's story, the way it's shot and framed and all that is more of the white perspective. And I think had it been actually directed by a person of color, it would have felt different. I think that's...
Is it a white woman?
Tay Taylor is a man.
Oh, a white man?
Mm-hmm. So... So two strikes, right? White man, strike. Two strikes.
Got it. Got it.
So I think, yeah, that would have made it a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, you're right. That's it. It being framed from their perspective in that regard. Yeah, that makes complete sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's not really an easy way to come back from that. Because, like, even, like, just unconscious bias, like, everybody in modern Western society, and specifically, you know, to our experience living in America, living in the U.S., everybody has some sort of internalized racism. Everybody is a little bit racist to an extent. Like, you can't, It takes a lot, and I think that we've learned in the last couple of years that it is possible to like unlearn it, and it is possible to like grow and evolve and become better, but it definitely takes some work. So
Anna and I were singing the same song just now in our heads. That's why we.
That was so distracting. I don't even know what I said made sense. I was just seeing these two just like, la, 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 la.
And to be honest, I wasn't really listening because I was singing.
Me neither.
Whatever. But everyone who knows Avenue Q was singing along with us just then.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Oh, no, your mouth. Yikes. First of all, okay, so hair and makeup in this was equal parts great and equal parts bad because what in the fuck was Emma Stone's bad wig? That wig.
I think I saw that at Party City one time.
It looks like a Party City wig. Like, with all the budget that they had for these costumings and, like, for her mom's wigs, like, they couldn't have gotten a better wig. Like, that wig, every time, like, it was never fully laying on her head, on her hairline, ever. I don't think at all. Also, like, it just was not good. The whole thing in general, really, I think part of the what I was reading in like more like modern day critiques of this is that it lets white people off the hook. Mm-hmm. And even though like you're seeing them do these bad things, these racist things, like they like in the end, they don't pay any consequences for it.
In that real life, though?
Too real!
Sorry.
Eject, please. I mean, yes, but also, like, this is fiction. We could have gotten just a little something. Who said it earlier? Anna? Were you? I don't know. I would really.
If it was brilliant, it was me.
I really would like to deep dive a little bit more into the psychology of like what it's like to have to raise white children as a black woman while your children are not, you're not at home to raise your children, or you're not as available to your children. The whole dichotomy of that, the whole psychology of that is just like incredibly interesting to me. And it's just so layered and so intricate. And especially because like through the whole movie, you see Aibeline's relationships with Mae Mobley, and Mae Mobley so deeply, deeply attached to Aibeline. And she even says at one point, she's like, "You're my real mama." Like that. Every interaction that they had, I was just like, oh my God, like there's like real love there. But also I think earlier in the movie, somebody says when either her or I think her in the voiceover mentions like they're so great when they're little kids and then they grow up and they become just like their moms. Like they're just as bad. They're just as racist as them. And, you know, something happens along the way. But that is just, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to do research on this now, like find someone's, I'm sure someone's done a dissertation on this or something. I'm going to go find like a dissect YouTube video deep dive on this thing.
It's an interesting concept. Discussion for sure.
I'm sure there is, sorry, just real quick. I'm sure there is something out there as a rebuttal to this.
Yeah.
That will get you what you want.
I'm gonna look now.
This is the first place that I saw Jessica Chastain, and I remember like falling in love with her. Like she's so good in this movie. She's mm-hmm. so great. I was like, this woman, who is she? I need to know her name. I need to know her life. Like, I love it. Her whole thing is so good. She's so adorable. She looks great. Her hair looks great. Costumes look great. She's just great. Great. I love her in this role. And then I remember watching her. I don't think I mentioned this one much, Zero Dark 30, but, like, The Range.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Not knowing that she, like, you know, went to Juilliard. She's, like, trained.
Oh.
Fancy. I forgot what I was going to say.
I saw it exit your brain.
I saw it fly out as well. She went to Juilliard on the scholarship set up by Robin Williams. So it was he who paid for her.
Wow.
Her schooling. And she talks about how she eventually, you know, that's why she's so generous and gives back a lot, because she was given so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then she always talks about how she wanted to, like, hopefully meet him and get to work with him or something in order to, like,
give back.
Bridge that. Yeah, but never got the chance to.
Oh, what an interesting combination that would be. Mm-hmm. I would have loved seen that.
Because she's got the comedy chops. She was so funny in this.
Yeah. She was, like, so unexpectedly, like, the brevity of that was really nice.
She's so natural. Everything's mm-hmm. so natural on her. Love that. Love it. But, like, yeah, she's clearly putting on an accent, but, like, it feels real. Like, it doesn't feel like a caricature. It feels like it's really her.
I feel like for the most part the accents were pretty spot on, except sometimes, like, Emma Stone slipped a little bit sometimes, but I'll just put that up with her. It's Emma Stone, it's fine.
I think it was you that said, Joy, that Emma Stone has a modern face, she could never really play anything period or whatever, and every time I see her I always think of that. Was it you that said that?
Maybe. I remember I was going through, like, a list of people who couldn't play period pieces. But the thing that convinced me was when she was in The Favorite. It just, she can't do a period piece if she has her red hair. When she's blonde and she looks more natural, I'll trick my brain into believing it. Because, like, in The Favorite, I believed it. And this I could too, because it wasn't that long ago. And the wig, you know, I blame the wig if I don't believe it. But you know what I noticed about Emma Stone? Emma Stone is one of those people that's actually, like, not a hideous crier, like, on camera. I was like, oh, she looks, like, normal. She's not like, ah! Like, it was just, it was like a good natural cry.
Who else, like, is a good crier? A beautiful crier?
I mean, Jessica Chastain looked great crying. I was really sad, but, like, she looked nice.
I have to marinate on all that. I'll think about it.
Yeah, it's really easy to be, like, ugly cry, but, like, to point out the ugly cry, because that's memorable. But, like, a good crier is not that memorable.
Oh, another movie I was thinking about that's also, I believe, Oscar-nominated, in the vein of, like, Green Book, The Help-ish, is The Blind Side. Do you ever see The Blind Side?
Yes! Oh, my God. Can't wait till we get there and talk about this all over.
Same type of feel. A little bit.
I think I've seen most of the movie, but not all at once in one sitting.
I'm pretty sure you can figure out.
I'm pretty sure I could figure it out from the synopsis. So
from the poster alone, you're like, oh, I know what that's about.
From Sandra Bullock's Best Actress reel.
Oh my gosh.
I got the movie.
I forgot.
Girl, that. Oh, there. Yeah. Going back to makeup and hair, not on the wig, not on Skeeter's wig, but on Viola Davis. I was like, there's no way that she looks younger now than she did in this movie. Because she looks, this makeup and hair, whatever they did to her, this makeup that they did to her, like, and just, I mean, also her face acting, like, she was working. I was just like, this lady looks younger now than she did in this movie. And this was, like, over 10 years ago. It really feels like the South, because everyone's, like, sweaty and, like, just nasty. Like, everyone has sweat stains. Nobody doesn't have sweat stains. Across their forehead, or, like, a mustache sweat. Like, sweat everywhere.
I just realized that, like, everyone is, like, Oscar nominated or a winner in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Only
Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Howard Bryce Dallas.
That one. I think she's the only one that hasn't.
hasn't gotten one.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me make some deviled eggs just for me, because those look so good.
Oh my God, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I miss Crystal's deviled eggs.
I was like, listen, that's not Thanksgiving, but like, why not?
Why not? Exactly. With some paprika on top? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, girl, hello. I think I'm going to do that this coming week. Maybe I'll do it.
Love me a deviled egg. love me a fried chicken.
Those eggs, they be deviled. Yeah.
The food in this look really good. I was like, bitch, I just ate and I'm hungry again.
Although I don't think that's normal for you though. I don't think that I would like ambrosia because it looks
the ambrosia salad
weird to me.
Isn't it like a weird fruit vegetable salad?
It's like grapes and sour cream and pineapples and hold on, I looked it up. I'm just like, I don't think I would like that. That looks, I mean, I like the things in it, but together they seem like heavy cream, sugar, sour cream, marshmallows, clementine oranges, pineapple, coconut, peanut, pecans, and maraschino cherries.
Oh, I have had that. Oh my God. I liked it.
Like that's like the most 1960s dish ever.
Yeah, I don't know why they used to serve that at like, I don't know who the fuck brought that to, like, the Mexican carne asadas, but somebody did, and I really liked it.
Did you invite a white person?
No, I didn't know white people back then.
They don't have white people in the valley?
They don't have white people in the valley. I mean, they do, but, like, I didn't know them. They were, like, teachers.
Nobody married a gringa?
No, not at that point, no.
Integration is a new frontier, Joy, okay?
Yeah.
It is now. But, you know.
It's always been.
Yeah, you're so old. It wasn't back then. Shut up.
I don't think anyone married a white person until my generation. But they're not going to be married much longer soon. Yikes.
Tea is being spilled here on this podcast.
Ooh, scalding.
This is why you don't marry white people.
But you know, Sissy's fakes.
But then I wouldn't be here, Joy.
Oh, just kidding. Oh, it's okay when it's Anna.
And Charlie.
Well, it's people I like and love. Yes.
Everyone else can go to hell.
I mean, basically. Anyone who doesn't know us and love us can go to hell, really.
Yeah, literally, fuck off.
Yeah, quite literally.
Stop making me laugh.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, teeth.
So before I had like a spaz just now, I was gonna say Sissy Spacek and I share a birthday. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that. Also, I
birthday twin. What?
I didn't realize it was her until I looked up at the thingy.
So she'll be my fave for that reason only.
Mm-hmm. I read that the only reason she took the job, she was like, I don't think there's enough here to like make a fully rounded character. And the director was like, you can improvise. She's like, okay.
I love that. She's like, I do what I want. Let's do it.
I love that for her.
Pay me. That's what she said. Also, did phone numbers in the 60s start with letters?
I think it was the circle one. Wasn't it that it had some letters on it? Am I thinking that correctly?
Or like were they still phone? Switchboard?
In the 60s, they had switchboards?
Yes, because I watched Mad Men. They definitely had switchboards.
But she has a phone in her house that's a rotary phone that has numbers. Where would the letters come from?
I think that's what like you do it a certain amount of time, and it's I don't know. I want to say
I'm going to Google this. That's okay. So weird. That's when she Google search. When Viola Davis sees her Skeeter's phone number, and I was like,
it says like EJ something. Yeah,
what? Is that a license plate? I was so confused. What's to say, Anna? Our crack team is on it.
Yes. You know how to Google.
When you type in the phone number in the help, it's like, here's, it's like, help, call this phone number.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, shit. No,
hold on.
Helpline.
I will say that the irony of them raising money for African children.
I literally wrote the same thing. Oh my God.
That's African children raised by the white ladies. Karens.
Oh my god. The fucking audacity of them being like, money for the African children. But not the ones here. The ones far away that I can't see.
You know what this reminded me of, Joy? It reminded me of Mrs. America. Same attitude where they were like, let's help the poor and insignificant. But not these people over here because they're not like... Anyway, that's a great miniseries. Everyone should watch
it. That is a great miniseries. And you know what? there was a moment where Hilly's like, she's talking about somebody else. And she's like, those are the real racists in this town. And I was like, ma'am, you are just as bad. You're basically wearing a hood. So shut the fuck up. Like,
I like
what is wrong about with you?
Movies in the 60s, like set in the 60s, it's like, I hate watching them because people are still like that. Like, the people like that are alive now in 2023. So, like, is it better? Who can say?
You know what? Yes. And also because, like, I think that, and it's been talked a lot more now, like, people keep saying that, like, oh, it'll die off with the next generation. It'll die off with the next generation. It's not going to be like that anymore. But, like, these people, like you said, they're still alive. They're grandparents right now. They had kids who they passed these, you know, thoughts and ideas on to, who also had kids that if they were sheltered and lived these kind of lives, also grew up with these thoughts and ideals. So, like, if they don't expand their consciousness, if they don't expand their worldview, their understanding of other cultures, people's places, things, like, it's not just gonna die off. That's not how it fucking works. Unless you unlearn and you teach, you know, basic human decency and the value of every human life, like, it's not... It's not that simple. It's not just going to die off with the elderly. These elderly have families. They've put their values on their kids. Their kids have put their values on their kids. And those kids are still in school right now. So it's not that simple.
And I hate to be like, you know, Debbie Downer about it, but I don't know that it will ever be eradicated or ever go away because there'll always be people like that. I mean, it will definitely be a shift because later generations have learned, but I think it's so ingrained in the fabric of America that it's really hard to get rid of it completely. But anyways, well, sorry, I'm depressing.
No. And you know what? Like, that's the other thing about this movie. Besides that, it's like, yes, white supremacy is basically the foundation of this country. And then the way it's like weaponized by these white women, and then the way it's weaponized by like them being like, oh, you know, the church, like God is on my side. God, like we're the chosen people, the blah, 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 whatever. Like, unfortunately, like Western Christianity, colonialism, all that shit is ingrained in white supremacy. You can't separate the two because one of them is used as a foundation for the other. There's no way that you can take those two apart. Like, if you still want to have America, you have to basically deconstruct all of America in order to have, like, the foundations not be founded in, like, white supremacy. Like, it's just, they're so a part of each other, and it still, like, it continues because of this, because of that. And, like, it's just so frustrating because, like, there can be things about America that you value and that you like, but like, it just blows my mind that as an adult, like, even though it sounds silly to be like, oh, why is this that way? Oh, racism. No, but like, really, like, literally everything, almost everything leads back to racism, because what was this country founded on? Racism. I think there's someone on TikTok that I follow, at Donnell Wrights, who does a really, really fantastic job of, he's gone and deconstructed his Christianity, and he has a really good job of explaining how white supremacy, Christianity, and like America all tie in together and deconstructing those things. And it's just really, really smart, really like thoughtful arguments from someone that like was raised in the church and is black and, you know, has this kind of cultural background and, like, really, like, ties it together. And I'm just, like, so grateful for, like, what he does and what he's talked about, because it's so, like, oh my God, it just, like, opens up my mind. Like, I just love learning and being able to hear from other perspectives. It's just, like, really helpful, especially, you know, when the other side of it is, like, ooh, a little white savior movie, cute, you know? So, anyways.
I think this movie kind of fits in to the category that I have, where it's, like, does more hurting than helping.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, it thinks it's being, like, telling you a lesson about how we can get together if we, you know, blah, 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 blah. But really, like, is it... Okay, so I re-listened to our Green Book episode.
In preparation for this?
Just because I wanted to be like, did I mention it then? But I didn't. Our Green Book episode is really funny because, first of all, we're so unhinged. It's amazing. But in that episode, Joy says...
Oh, God.
Joy says she wants Bitch I'm a Cowboy at her funeral. And then, so we quote, like, certain things that were funny to us in the time, but I don't remember why they're funny. Why was the Biggie Siggy funny? I forgot.
I remember the Biggie Siggy. It was a game night. We were playing Quiplash or one of the Jackbox games. It became a joke. I think about the Biggie Siggy all the time because I wanted to get a fake award for game, because I thought we were gonna have more game nights that said like the Biggie Siggy. So if you won the game, you got the Biggie Siggy award.
Oh, God.
But then we never had another game night.
And then Spaghetti was also, so in the episode we just say Biggie Siggy and Spaghetti, and then we like roll in laughter. So I was like, why was that funny? I forgot. But those were the most notable things that Joy wants Bitch on My Cow played at her funeral. So it's documented, Joy. It's out there. So it's going to happen. Right. But anyways.
Grateful for the reminder. That's coming up soon.
Wait, her funeral? What?
That was the joke, babe.
Okay. I thought you meant game night, but all right, whatever. I totally lost what I was going to say about the Biggie Siggy just threw me off. okay. So I have a list where it's like, does more hurting than helping. Cause like we watched Green Book at the same year as Black Klansman, and how they're both about race relations, but how one is very much like a sugar coated, like, forget about it. We're all together. Blah, blah, blah. Like nonsense. Whereas Black Klansman is like, no, we're telling you what this is. The realness of it. It's not pretty. But you gotta know. And I feel like The Help is similar to The Green Book and The Blind Side, and even, not the same issue, but The Danish Girl. How it's telling a story about something that, not in a way that's helpful. Ultimately, that's more hurting, because it's pandering to the idea of, like, it's okay if we just talk about this movie and nothing else. So I'm gonna add that to my list.
That's a good list. You should...
It's there.
Oh my God. I need to go look at that list.
Okay, guys.
What'd you find out?
I've done some reading. And it's very confusing. Do you remember the letters?
Yes.
Not off the top of my head, no.
E-H?
E-H would have been... No, it's not here. Oh,
more EH. It's definitely an E, and Crystal said an H. I thought it was a J. The second letter was a J.
I mean, I saw this movie like last week, so who knows?
EH or EJ. Try one of those.
Definitely letters.
Okay. So I'm not finding it, but they were central office names of your distributor. So the example I found in the article was like in I Love Lucy, whenever they give their phone number, they say, Murray Hill 59975. And so Murray Hill is MU, which is the number 68. So it's kind of like an area code of where you would your regional offices for your phone company, and then they would connect you from there.
Oh, wow.
So I'm guessing maybe she was a little outside of everyone else's, yes. or it was just commonplace to write down your.
It could have been made up, or you know, people put like 555 as a fake number. Maybe they did fake letters.
Right, because well, but it's not. It didn't take place in like a fake place, so.
No, I don't know. What's her name? Skeeter and her mom lives like way out there.
That's true.
Her
and so does
Celia. Celia also lives like way out there.
Yeah.
On like land or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not finding EH. I'm finding EA. All those other letters. ED.
Something. But now we know. That's very interesting. The more you know, kids.
I'm looking at all these charts trying to explain it, and it's very confusing. I'm looking at notes on nationwide dialing, 1955.
Oh. Wow. Interesting.
The things we do for you, listeners. The research we put in. You're welcome.
So, Crisco under your eyes? What?
I've heard that.
I've never Windex. Heard that in my life.
Put some Windex on it.
No, I will never do that.
No, I've heard of the Crisco
thing. It's the
thing.
Joke from...
I know what it's from.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
Which, there's a third one of those coming out. I'm so excited.
Wow. Of course you love those movies, Joy. Of course you love them.
Me and my family love those movies. Like, we literally watched that movie while we were in Greece.
Did you ever watch that other movie about Greece I told you about?
Oh, the sexy one? No, I keep forgetting.
Why are you telling her about sexy Greece movies and not me?
Oh, it's called Monday. It's got Sebastian Stan in it.
He's very naked, according to
people. Like, the whole movie, basically. Sorry. And it's just, it's him in Greece, and yeah. He plays a DJ, so.
Ew. But it's like a rom drama? Is that correct? Would that be correct?
Yeah. I want them all to see it because I wonder if I'm seeing it through my non-rom-commy eyes correctly.
Is that the one with Shailene Woodley?
No. That movie sucks, by the way. I forgot what
she it's owns called. It.
That I own it. Ugh, kill me. It's called Monday with Denise Goff, I think her name is.
Yes. Yeah, that's her name.
Anyways,
Monday.
Do you feel better about life when you make fried chicken? I have to ask.
Oh man, I wish I could make fried chicken. My brothers know how to do it really well, but I don't know that I could do that. That seems really.
Do you feel better about life when you make it though?
I would if I could, but when I eat it, I feel great.
I think you can.
I feel like I will try, and then I'll have to like break the chicken in half, like open it up to make sure it's not like fully cooked on the inside.
I mean, didn't you fry some chicken when we used to live together?
Get a thermometer.
Yeah. Change your life, girl. For sure.
No, I was making falafel. I fried other things, but not chicken. Other stuff.
Chicken.
Okay, hold on. I'm at the scene where she has a phone number, so I'm gonna see. Oh, fuck you. I'm gonna see what number it is. It's the scene's out now.
You put the movie on just for that?
I like to put the movie on when we're recording, so if I forget something, it's there. Let's have to rent it again, which I won't do. What was I going to say? I forgot. Yeah, so that's what Octavia Spencer's character tells Jessica Chastain when she's teaching how to cook. You just feel better about life when you make fried chicken. I just want to tell you guys that you is kind, and you is smart, and you is important. And don't you forget it.
I got you.
That has lived on and become a life of its own outside of this movie.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, though. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's short and sweet, to the point, and very necessary to hear. And very necessary for you to tell yourself that. Because if Viola Davis believes in us, I think we're doing pretty good.
Okay, so the phone number is, hold on, I'm going to pause it real quick. It is KL50-96.
We were so off!
Okay, let me see.
Okay. Oh my god. KL5-0, the wires in the way, and the 9-6.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how the I Love Lucy one was too.
We are so...
The wire in the way? That's, I'm taking a picture of it.
Wow. We were completely off on that.
Our memories are bad, whatever.
That's fine.
Again, this is 1955, so this is about 10 years before. Early.
Mm.
So maybe it's not completely updated. But I'm, all I'm saying is Kellogg, just K-E. Keystone, which is also K-E. Kimball, which is K-I. Kingsdale, which is K-I. Okay, well, now that I know what they are, I can look it up. Hold on.
So, any last notes before we go through the categories?
Racism is bad?
Sorry, that's not funny.
No. White women love weaponizing their tears. To this fucking day, I mean, obviously they, it's easy enough for them to get away with it, so they still do it. I think that's one of the things that's like, I was reading an article the other day that was like the intersection between, like the lack of intersectionality for white women, like white women will put their whiteness ahead of their womanness when it comes down to it, because they know they'll be protected by white men. Just again, the psychology of all of this is just so interesting to me. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. I think that's pretty straightforward, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no KL. Are you sure it couldn't have been interpreted as a KI?
Baby, I also need the picture right now. It's KL.
Okay. I'm not disbelieving you. I'm just wondering if there was...
Really? You're not?
Not. But it would have probably been the numbers 5-4. So 5-4-5-0. Or maybe they were trying to go... Because there's not a 5-5. It's 5-4-5-6, so maybe they're trying to like play into the 5-5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's smart.
But it's funny, like, why would like, I know why they do fake numbers in movies, so like you won't call it, but like, who's gonna call KL5?
Well, you time period the accuracy. Whole person
watching this movie. That's true, but like, just make it a real number then. Anyways, whatever. Yeah, I had no idea that. The numbers, the thing. Did you ever find out why she's called Skeeter?
In the book, it's because when she was born, her brother said she looked like a mosquito. And in the South, it said Skeeters. She looks like a Skeeter.
Oh my God.
I always think of Doug when I think of Skeeter. Hey, Doug! I think that's how his voice goes. I'm not really sure.
Is it?
Cousin Skeeter? Was there a show?
The puppet.
I liked that show.
Yeah, it was great. It was good. Peter and Doug. Doug funny.
Oh. The only note I have on here is that I missed the choir part of the church. That was always the best part.
Girl. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we just went to the Church of Lizzo, so I think we're okay.
I mean, if I just go to concerts and listen to Lizzo talk, that's basically church. So
Yeah, exactly.
And at the very end, there's a great scene from the Church of Alice and Janney when she's putting Miss Bryce Dallas Howard in her place.
Love.
I had to think about her name.
Dallas Howard.
It's three. It's hard. It's three names is hard.
That's a lot of names. That's a lot of fucking names.
I'm tired.
Okay, Joy, go through the categories.
Okay, so best picture.
You know what? So far, these pictures, best pictures have been pretty, like, lackluster, to be honest with you. I hope the second half picks up, because, like...
I don't know if it's just, like, the quality in movies has changed.
I would agree with that.
Because I just, I feel like these are so mediocre.
Yeah.
Maybe, or maybe this was just a time, maybe as we keep going back, we're going to see, like, a chunk of time where the Best Picture nominees were just trying to be more relatable, like, more accessible.
Yeah.
They're not art house movies. They're movies you go see at the movie theater with your family, I mean, kind of thing.
That is true. Like, the whole reason that they expanded it to 10 nominees is because The Dark Knight was slated to have been Best Picture, and it didn't because they only had, like, 5 nominees. So that was the whole reason they expanded it to 10. So you're right, Anna. Like, it started to expand itself to more commercial-friendly movies rather than just, like, movies no one's ever seen.
So I think we're seeing that bubble.
Yeah, for sure. Which is funny because the one no one saw won the Best Picture that year.
Because the Oscars are inherently the Oscars. Yeah, they like the art house movies.
Oscar, like you said.
They like themselves.
They really like, do.
They really do.
But yeah, I'm with
you.
Hey,
let's win an Oscar by making a movie about Hollywood. Woo, we know the formula.
We're 3 women and of color, so I don't know that your half white will get us there, Anna.
I believe in my half white, because if you look at my ancestry, it's more like 68-70%
okay,
white.
Okay, we can work with those numbers. And I can be white passing sometimes in certain colors and in certain shades, so it could work.
We'll change your name to Crystal Z.
Right, like Zegler or something like that.
And your Joy Gift, like we'll make this work.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
I'll straighten my hair and stay out of the sun for like 10 years.
No, you can say you came back from Cabo. I just got back from vacation. You can say that all the time. So like, your tan looks like new.
And then after we win, be like, oh my god, we didn't know we're actually Hispanic. Like,
what? There's revelation.
Like, we're brown. What is this?
Right? Wait, it wouldn't ask her.
We'll just go to the beach before and be like, we're slightly tan. Oh.
Oh.
I really do need to go to the beach to look slightly tan. So.
I've been inside far too long. I need to get nature out somewhere.
Nature out, is that what you said?
It is out. Nature is naturally out.
No, she meant her nature out. She's got her nature out.
My nature out. Yeah.
I don't want to see your nature. Keep it in.
Oh my god.
The Best Picture.
Best Picture. Okay, so then Best Actress for Viola Davis.
I like her here. It really isn't a meaty role. But I can understand why she didn't like this nomination. Why she feels regret and about being even part of the movie, especially because the winner of that year was someone that she's often compared to, yet isn't given the same exposure, recognition, and roles.
Mm.
And I would argue is just as talented, if not more. Because Meryl Streep would not do Woman King. I'm just saying. Okay.
Oh!
I love Meryl Streep. I think she's great, but I mean, come on now.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if Meryl Streep has ever done anything like that intensely, like, physical?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, how interesting. You're right. And you know,
Meryl Streep is a great actress, clearly, but she's very, like, contained. And in her containment, she's really good. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, unless she's screaming at the dinner table.
Yes, but it's still same type of character-ish. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, mm-hmm. like, Viola Davis has literal range. Like, and she brings the same energy she does to The Help as she does to How to Get Away with Murder, or she does to...
Get Away with Murder?
Huh?
I heard How to Get Away with Murder.
Of course you did. But or The Woman King. You know, she just brings... She's bringing it all the time to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think she more than made up for, you know, she says she feels bad about taking this role.
Yeah.
In her win for Fences, because Fences is the Black experience told by a Black person.
Yes.
acted by Black people. Like, it is.
Yeah.
It is rooted in there, in her, and well-deserved win for that.
Also, like, she's a fucking EGOT, okay? Let's not forget that. Fucking queen, okay? We have an episode titled about Viola Davis.
Viola Davis is our queen, I think.
Exactly.
I think was it the Oscars? Was it that year?
Probably. Or the
Golden Globes. I think it might have been, like, yeah, the Globes.
The Globes. The Golden Globes, yeah. She won Golden Globes, too. Yeah, honestly, I would love to see her get the same treatment as, like, every old white person who gets nominated for literally anything they breathe in. I was just, anytime she breathes, anytime she even cameos, give her a nomination. Nomination. I want her Oscar nominee list to be incredibly long, and I want her to get another Oscar.
And she has the talent to back it up. Like, she's not just getting nominated, just getting nominated. She's actually that good.
I think I sent it to you guys. I'm not sure. But on TikTok, there's this film reviewer that I watched that takes her scene in Fences, the stage play, and her scene in Fences, the movie, and puts them, like, back to back. And just the acting muscles that she has. Because, like, to perform on a stage, you're doing it with the intention of, like, this whole audience has to see you here.
Yeah, you're projecting.
Yes, and then to do it on the film, and it's so great to see the difference in her choices and just, like, how she chooses to recite a line or, like, her physicality. It's just fucking genius. Like, I just love her, and I would love to see her live. I feel like seeing her live.
Oh, my God.
Changed my life.
Also, what I love about her, she's not afraid to look dirty or a mess or because, like, sometimes actresses, especially, like, when they're starting new, they just want to look good. They want to make sure they look good on camera. Where she's not afraid to have snot in her nose as she's screaming at Denzel Washington or yeah. have, you know, bags under her eyes and look tired because she's an actress. She is immersive. She's committed. And Meryl Streep does that too, but, like, I love how Viola is just, like, acting with, like, every fiber of her being. Like, yeah. Her eyelashes are acting, her toes are acting, everything. Like, she's just...
Her pores are acting.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think I'm glad that she won for Fences and not The Help.
Yeah.
100%.
And then also, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Joy.
Best supporting actresses, Octavia Spencer, who won, and Jessica Chastain.
Nothing against Octavia Spencer, but I think it should have been Jessica Chastain because I love her in this role. I think she was so good.
I'm grateful it was Octavia Spencer because it led her to have the career she's having now.
What is she doing?
I mean, she's been in a lot. She's been in Shape of Water. She's like, I think without this, she would have been even less on the radar.
I feel like she's long overdue for a lead role. Like, all she does is supporting. And I feel like she's good enough for that.
She did Ma, a horror movie by Tate Taylor.
Is that where all those gifts are from? I've never seen the movie.
Yes. Oh yes. My God. With the bob and the bang.
I thought that was like an SNL skit.
It looks like it, but it's actually a movie.
I think Tate Taylor did also a movie with Jessica Chastain, like she's like an assassin or something. I forgot, whatever.
Yeah. She wears wigs. I think.
I don't know. Violet's a terrible movie. It's got Mila Jovovich
on a Apple TV show right now.
Anna or something. It's called Anna, I think.
No, it's a name. It's a name.
Yeah, Anna. Anna.
No, it's not Anna.
I'm seeing it in my head. It's Anna.
Ava.
Yes.
The A, right? Okay.
He also did Girl on the Train.
That was pretty good, actually.
She was in Girl on the Train?
No. It was a mediocre adaptation.
Wait.
Did I like that movie? I can't remember.
The movie?
Yeah.
Who with was
Emily Blunt and Luke something, right?
Oh,
Gaston.
Luke, what's his name? Luke something.
Luke Evans?
Evans, there it is. Yeah, Luke Evans.
Rebecca Ferguson, Justin Theroux, Haley Bennett, Edgar Ramirez, Allison Janney. He also just did a movie with Allison Janney that I keep meaning to check out because it looks decently funny. Breaking News in Yuba County with Awkwafina.
I wanted to see that. Is that the one with, what's her name?
What is that?
Who's the lead in that? Oh, what's her name?
Allison Janney.
What? No, I thought it was someone else.
Allison Janney, Mila Kunis, Regina Hall, Awkwafina, Wanda Sykes, Ellen Barkin, Jimmy Simpson. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey. It's got a great cast.
Okay. Kind of like this movie.
Yeah. And it looks a little unhinged, so.
Yeah.
Love that. We love unhingedness. Mm-hmm. So are there any categories where you think it should be that it's not? The help, I mean?
Nah.
So the score, as good as the script,
go ahead.
As good as the script was, I don't want to like praise the author any, so like don't want it to have that nomination, so fair. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I don't think it was that good. Thinking of.
Yeah.
I think the score is, so Thomas Newman does the score, and it's what you heard a little bit earlier at the top, and it sounds almost exactly like his score to Finding Nemo.
Really?
So I was listening to it, and I was like, this is Nemo and Marlin and Dory. So anyway, that's just a fun little tidbit.
I would say, the only thing I can think of maybe is like makeup, but not hair, because that wig is.
Well, I think hair and makeup are the same category, right?
Here it says just makeup.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Oh, what about costume design?
It was good. There were some good ones in there. I like how the difference in the textures from like the maid's outfits, they look so like extra starched and stiff.
Yeah.
Like I could feel the linen. I could feel the cotton of it.
The fabric of our lives. The touch, the feel
of cotton. Wow, I haven't heard that in a long time.
I know, me neither.
You kids don't even know.
That doesn't even exist anymore. It's all synthetic polyester mixes.
But yeah, that's the help, everybody.
Rankings?
Oh, yeah. Which mediocre film is first? This season so far is giving mid to me.
For real.
Is it the racist one, the colonizer one, or the one that's anti-neurodivergent children?
Okay, Joy, wow. You go first. Put it in perspective, huh? Okay, Joy, you go first. Oh, okay, or laugh, that's fine. She made herself She's done for.
Okay, I'll go. Number three, I have Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Number two, The Descendants. And number one, The Help.
Oh, man, at the bottom.
You know, I'll probably say the same thing, because the only thing that's keeping this movie on the top is the cast.
That's the only reason it's number one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Allison Janney's there.
Exact same. Yeah. Star-studded.
Yep. All right, cool.
That's it, yeah. Basically.
All right. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, follow us and like us and
Twitter.
Do we have any reviews on iTunes? iTunes users?
We have just one.
I think it's us.
Wait, can I review if I don't have an Apple account? Probably not.
I don't know.
Have y'all reviewed us?
No.
I think it was only our friends from CYC.
Oh, love them.
Our one listener.
Go check them out.
But check us out first, because, you know, we need
it more.
So yeah, like us, subscribe to us.
Listen, we're not a visual podcast.
Wave at us, listen, follow us, tweet at us, DM us, send us cash, you know, whatever.
Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, we take it all.
Yeah.
All it's going to do is pay for our food delivery.
Basically. I got to buy those chicken nuggets somehow.
Cheeky nuggets. Yay.
Cheeky nuggets.
I'm so hungry for real food.
Oh, sorry.
What are you eating right now? Mashed potatoes?
How long do you have to eat mashed potatoes for?
3 days.
They said I have to be on soft food for 5 days.
Oh, my God.
But the first 48 hours are the most important because I got 2 teeth pulled this morning. That's what we're talking about.
Jesus.
So they need them to blood clot and yeah. So that it won't, nothing will get in there and get infected or whatever. So for the first 48 hours, I have to be very careful. And then for 5 days, no drinking through a straw. Nothing too sharp or pointy, soft foods. He's like, pasta's going to be your friend.
Upside?
So, yeah, tonight I just had mashed potatoes and I also got a roll. And I just, like, took little pieces from the inside and, like, chewed it up on my front teeth and just, like, swallowed it. It was so pathetic.
It's only temporary. You can do it. You're strong.
I know. And no carbonation.
Oh, that's going to kill you for sure. Days. Never mind. You can't do it.
She's done.
I also ordered a gallon of sweet tea, so I'm still getting caffeinated. Don't worry.
Man, I miss
you. I will not die. But my hyperfixation snack right now is, like, the little mandarins, the cuties. I can't stop eating them. And I can't have one right now. And it's killing me. So yeah, that's my reality for a couple of days.
Woo! Yeah. You got it. You can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah.
We believe in you.
Thanks.
You just won't have mashed potatoes or pasta for like a year afterwards or something like that.
Like, girl, I eat 5 things. That's all.
That's true. Never mind. I forgot who I'm talking to.
She'll get over it in a week and do it again.
I forgot who I'm talking to. She'll just pop Dr. Pepper and it'll be all good.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
I'll see you later.
Bye. Bye.